This morning we're going to continue on the friend of God. And I always say to the Lord, I said, I never want to preach on something that I don't understand or don't have. Would you please draw your attention to what I'm going to say now? God can only reveal himself to you up to the level that you want him to reveal himself to you. And God can only manifest the revelation that you have about him. The Bible says that the problem is that people lack wisdom. And the people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So people don't have a knowledge about God. People don't have a knowledge about God. Do you hear me? People don't have a knowledge about God. People don't understand how big and how awesome his love is and how powerful he is and who he is. And being a friend of God is exactly that. This is why we teach on how to become a friend of God. And I've spoken last Sunday, I've touched on it, and this Sunday we're going to continue on it. And this Sunday I'm going to teach you on two things. That a friend of God is somebody who receives secrets from God. Please say with me, secrets from God. That secrets from God is revelation from God, all right? You get revelation from God. This is what I love, what the Bible says. And please hear me. I'm going to say this in the 10 o'clock service. I'm going to say this again. The more we use our time quoting and declaring the word of God over our lives, the more that word of God shall become life and revelation to us. Can somebody help me preach in this place? You can have all scriptures, all the knowledge of the scripture. Unless the scripture becomes revelation, it will never change you. People need revelation about the word of God now more than ever before. If you believe it, come on, give Jesus a shout. We need revelation of the word of God. And this word, this written word, it represents Christ as the living word. So we need to know the word inside out. We need to eat the word. This is why from January, I'm going to teach people how to read the Bible right through in a whole year. In 1 year, you'll be able to read the whole Bible with constant revelation. You'll understand God gloriously. So this is coming January. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna touch on the friend of God. Being a friend of God means that you walk with God, you talk with God. Do you know what happens when you become a friend of God? That your desires dies away. And you pick up the desires of God. It's no longer building your own kingdom, but building the kingdom of God. Amen. If you believe it, give him a shout. Now, we need to understand being a friend of God. The Bible speaks about that God gives you constant revelation. Jesus has dealt with his friends the secret things of God, the secret things of the kingdom, and yes, very important. And I know many times that when you preach, it goes into the one ear and out of the other one. People are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. I want to speak to the doers of the word. Where are you in this place this morning? It's very clear in the scripture. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. The people you hang around with is the people that you'll become. When the disciples were preaching and teaching, do you know what people around them said? These people surely had been with Jesus. How could they say that? Because they didn't just quoted what Jesus quoted, but they sounded like the master. They released what Jesus did. Come on, they demonstrated the same kingdom and the same power. You will become who your friends are. This is why when you become a friend of God, you start to speak like God, you start to sound like God. This is why when you have somebody in your life who feeds your faith, you have to stay close to that person that feeds your faith, because the one that feeds your faith is the one that will sustain you. Suddenly, you'll start to speak like that person, you'll start to walk like that person. This is why dishonor disqualifies you from what God has called you to do. If you want what God got for you, you better honor. Oh, come on, somebody, I'm speaking to you. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13 to 15. Can we get it on the screen, please? And I want to read this. I want you to follow this. Take notes if you can. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, there's no greater love than this, than a friend that would lay down his life for another friend. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Please stop there. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say? You see, a friend of God is somebody that obeys God no matter what the cost. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. A friend of God is somebody that serves Jesus when it's going good and when it's going bad. A friend of God is somebody that obeys God's voice, even if it means that God requires your Isaac. Am I speaking to you? A friend of God, this is what Jesus says. He says, I don't want people to call me Lord, Lord. I want people to obey me. And when you obey me, then alone you can call me Lord, Lord. You see, I like this. I like this. You know when God spoke to Moses, the Bible says when God called him, he said, Moses, Moses. He didn't say Moses. He said, Moses, Moses. If God called him once, it would have been a conversation. God called him twice. Twice speaks about a covenant. Moses, Moses. I'm about to make a covenant with you. Now here it comes, Lord, Lord. Why? You can't call me Lord, Lord, unless you do what I say. In other words, you cannot stand in covenant until you do what I tell you. You are a friend if you do whatever I command you to do. This is Jesus' words. This is why I want to tell everyone in this place, every demon listening to me, every devil, every high thing, every stronghold, that Jesus Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. The church worldwide is about to burst to its seams for all the souls that's coming in through the gates. Come on, if you believe it, come on, give him a shout. It's coming. So he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Let's go to verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Friends, please say friends. Friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The Bible says, listen to this. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. A servant does not know what the master is doing. He says, but no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. From this moment, I will reveal to you the very things that the Father is revealing to me. That's constant revelation. That's having an intimate relationship with the Father. What if I tell you this morning that you can have a relationship with the Father in such a way that you can stand in a mall and think about the goodness and tears streams down your cheeks because there's a tenderness, there's a oneness with Him. You can never say that you're a friend of God and you like sin. If you are a friend of God, something is birthed on the inside of you that hates sin. Everything of you. Am I speaking to the right church? Who in this place, now just hear me, have come to a place where you say, I'm homesick. Lord, you can just come and get me. This world is so filthy. And I know we have to make the, listen, don't get religious on me right now. I know we have to make the change. I'm not talking about making the change. I'm talking to you about who says, Lord, the world is so dirty, so filthy, so full of sin that this world does, I don't belong here, Lord. Amen. All right. You're a friend of God. Because a friend of God hates sin. And the more you hate sin, the more God steps in, the more God reveals. The only reason why you hate sin is because Jesus has revealed the secret things of the Father. The Father hates sin. The Father hates sin in any color, in any language. He hates sin. He's a holy Father. Come on, if you believe it, give him a shout. So the closer to God we get, the closer we'll hear his heartbeat. People ask me so many times, how do I hear the voice of God? Hearing the voice of God comes through spending time with Him. You have to spend time with God. And by spending time with God, God reveals things to you in the secret. Now, simple things in the secret. The other night I was walking into a garage, and it was an instance that happened in the garage. And Tinus and I was there, and I met a young man there for the first time in my life. Something happened there, and a couple of months went past, maybe 2 months went past. And one morning I woke up. And I was remembered about the instance in the garage. I didn't know why. Why would I be reminded about what was spoken about in the garage? And I saw this young man's face clearly in front of me. And I thought, I wonder what happened with him after that night. And that we heard that same day that he committed suicide. He killed himself. So what is God saying? God is revealing secret things. In other words, this is why I need to tell you this. God doesn't show you a face for no reason. God shows you a face because He's revealing secret things. Things before it happened that you can start to pray and intercede for them. Amen. You can intercede. Obviously, there must be, from the person's side, there must be a will to change and a will to say it's surrender to Jesus. But our job is still to pray. Come on, somebody help me out. And this is why God reveals secret things. He reveals things before it even happens. You will never be caught by surprise if you are spirit-filled and a friend of God. Before things happen, before they turn their back on you, before they stab you in the back, before they hate on you, come on, before the blessing even comes, God prepares you and He speaks to you about secret things, things that your friends does not know anything about. Woo! Because you're a friend of God. I don't want to speak to church-going people. I'm not speaking to servants right now. I'm speaking to friends of God who hears the voice of God. Now, if you hear the voice of God this morning, you will hear the voice of God right now, that this is your hour and this is your season to run to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need you more than I needed you yesterday. I don't want to be a servant. I want to be known as a friend of God. What will they say on your at your funeral? This was a guy. He was a church goer. No, I want them to be, it must be said, this man walked with God. He was a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. No longer servant, friend of God. Hallelujah. Now, a friend of God is somebody that walks with faith. A friend of God never walks by eyesight. You walk by insight. A friend of God is somebody, listen, let's go to James chapter 2. I want to read this to you. James chapter 2, 23. Please shout faith. Faith. Now, just by the way, as they get this scripture ready, faith does not come through striving. Faith comes through surrender. Can I say this again? Faith does not come through striving. Faith comes through surrender. So please, before we read the scripture, I want you to say, a friend of God walks in faith. Let's do that again. A friend of God walks in faith. So in the walk of faith as a friend of God, there's no eyesight to it. By the way, faith doesn't have a plan B. Faith have a plan Jesus. That's it. Faith doesn't have a plan B. Don't make a plan B. Plan B is not faith. Plan B is flesh. Oh, come on. Plan B is flesh. Plan B is not Jesus. It's not faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is why we need to be filled with the word constantly. Constantly. You can only give what you have when you are filled with the word of God. Come on. When you are filled with the word of faith, the only thing that comes out of you is faith. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to read this again. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. By the way, when Abraham took Isaac to kill him, God made a covenant. Oh, I like that one. A covenant God. He's a covenant friend. And do you know what he said? He said, I'm going to bless your children's children just because of your sake. Because of your faith, because of your righteousness. There's a reward in righteousness. I said, there's a reward in righteousness. I said, there's a reward in righteousness. Because you are righteous, the blessing will remain on your children and on your children's children and on all those who are called by God. This is why I thank God that I'm the righteous of God. My children are secure. Can it be absolutely? The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now, faith doesn't come through striving. Faith comes through surrender. Abraham could have strived with God. Abraham could have said, no, God, don't take Isaac, take Ishmael. But he didn't strive with God. He surrendered totally until the will of God. Many people don't understand faith because they do not understand the perfect will of God. You can only release faith when you understand the perfect will of God. When the perfect will of God is realized, you can release total faith in God. If God says, take your son, the one you love, go and sacrifice him. You hear God, you better get up and sacrifice that son. Because the same God that says sacrifice him is well able to raise him again from the dead. People think that faith is head knowledge and faith is positive thinking. Faith has nothing to do with positive thinking. Do you know what? God took me down the one day, he sat me down and gave me the scripture. Everything that's not of faith is sin. Yo, that's a deep one. Everything that's not of faith is sin. How many times a day do we sin? How many times a day do we doubt? But a friend of God never doubts. The Bible says a friend of God believes God and it is counted as righteousness. Now I want to just give you a brief picture. He says that Abraham believed God and it was counted as righteousness. This was Old Testament, by the way. This was not under the new covenant. This was under law. He believed God, and God says because he believed him, he's righteous. Righteousness came through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come in the Old Testament, he came in the new one. Who's with me? But just because Abraham believed, imagine his faith in God was so strong, so rooted, so planted. This is why David cried out. The psalmist said that those who are planted, rooted in the house of God, they will flourish in the courts of God. In the old age, they will bear much fruit. Jesus says you will know them according to their fruit. He says, if I don't find fruit on you, I'll cast you out into the lake of fire. This is what the Bible says. So you see, here's a scripture that says rooted. Come on, shout rooted. Come on, rooted. You have to be rooted in Christ, rooted in church, be established and grow by faith. Paul speaks about when we gather together, we grow in faith. Our faith starts to grow. Come on, how would you face Monday if you don't have a faith preacher in front of you? Come on, how would you receive a preaching with no preacher? How would you receive revelation without a revelator? You need somebody that will stand on truth and preach this gospel to you until it becomes a revelation to you, until faith is stirred in your heart, and until it becomes a righteousness to you. Hallelujah. And you know why he was called a friend of God? Because you obeyed God to the T. That's why God said, now I'm going to call you a friend of God, because you can never have faith until you have total surrender and obedience. It walks together. But the most important thing that people need to understand right now is you become who you hang around. Yeah, that's so important. In my life, in my Christian walk, I have seen how God was showing my friends. Oh, trust me. In my worldly life, I was another man. I had friends that, well, I thought was friends. But you know, the Bible says there's another friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's there when you're in trouble. He's there when everybody else is leaving. He's still there. He remains there. So I found a friend in Christ. And this is why I love this friend with all of my heart, with every ounce of my being. Because you'll never understand. Wait for this on the 10 o'clock service. But you'll never understand why I preach like I preach and praise like I praise. If you don't know what I know, you'll never understand. You know, you'll never understand what Christ has saved me from, what Christ has took me out of. You'll never understand this. I had a rugby coach that I was playing club rugby for, and I was playing Golden Lions. I was one of the best centers in Gauteng. And I could have played great rugby. My dreams were always, I said always to my dad, I'm going to play Springbok rugby. And and they always told me that I'm too short for Springbok rugby. I said, no, that's not what in me. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than a man on the outside. Listen, let me tell you something. If you know a bulldog, a small dog with a heart of a lion, that thing's got a heart of a lion. I've seen big dogs run away for a fight. Not that guy. That fat bulldog, that small one. Oh, he's got a heart like a liar. Amen? So don't worry about the outer appearance. God looks on the inside of you. But this coach, he emailed me for the first time in my life. I thought this guy forgot me. He sent me a message. He says, wow, Vessel, my name is this and this. Can you remember me? You played rugby for me. I am baffled. Is this really you? What did God did in your life? Where's your church? I need to get there. I responded, I said, hello, I still remember you. I just want to tell you, Jesus changed my life. He changed my life. He changed my life. Come on, he changed my life. And I lost the desire for rugby. I was bought through different clubs and different schools under me, but I had a new love. And his name is Jesus Christ, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And when you call on that friend, you shall be saved. And this friend cannot lie. Earthly friends can lie. They can lie, they can cheat, they can stab you in the back. But this precious Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you, he's the greatest phenomenon that has ever walked the face of this earth. Come on, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am royalty. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. My Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's my friend. And you know what? There comes a day and a moment and an hour. He's so soon that every eye will see my friend, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. This is my Jesus. That's my friend. And when you start to know that friend, you know, if people want to ask me, Vessel, how does your faith grow? Let me tell you, relationship. Relationship. I've always had this example. I said, if you get into a car with somebody and they drive 250 kilometers per hour, you and the devil will get out until the person gives you a revelation. I'm Michael Schumacher. Then you're going to say, go, pretty, go. Because you know the ability of this driver. The same with God. The longer you know him, the more you sit back. Not strife, you sit back and you surrender to the right. Because you know his ability. You know this guy can drive. This is how faith works in us. This is how it's stirred. When you're a friend of God, you know that all things are possible for the one who believes. Come on, Luke 1:37 says, I'm not going to quote Luke 1, but I want to quote the following and then I'm going to go back to Luke. Otherwise, the two's not going to work. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Luke 1:37 says that all things are possible for God. It goes on and it says so clear. It says, for God to do nothing is impossible. What does it mean? It means for God all things are possible. Did you hear what I'm saying? For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. For God nothing shall be impossible. This means that for God to do nothing is impossible. Wherever God is, wherever your friend shows up, something happens. I don't care how big of a murderer you were, how great of a drug addict you are, when you get to know the friend Jesus Christ, he'll set you free and he'll change you forever and forever and forever. And you know what this friend say? This friend doesn't say you have to strive. He says, come as you are. I'll change you forevermore. That's what my friend says. Hallelujah. Faith is not the fruit of work. It's the fruit of rest. Can I say this again? Faith is not the fruit of work. It's the fruit of rest. And it's a product of our relationship to God. That's what faith is. When you enter into the rest of God, what does it mean? Abraham believed God. That's it. That word, I can close the Bible and go home. Abraham believed God. Do you know what it means? Settles. Done. Done. Now, I'm resting. And he's doing the work. I don't strive. Oh God, please remember. Please remember. So the Bible says, remember God about his promises. But it's just because you have got faith. It's not, oh, here is solid, doing solid. No, it's done. Abraham believed God. What are you believing God for? Come on, what are you believing God for? It's done. According to scripture, it's done. All things are possible for those who believe. When your faith comes to a place of stagnation, if your faith fails, his faith prevails. I'm speaking to people who's got a hard year. 2018 was a hard year, difficult year, and your faith was going, whew, it's not over. Please hear me. Look me straight in the eye. It's not over. It's not over. Come on, the bell has not yet rung. I tell you right now, there's another round to fight. This round is the round that's gonna matter. This round, you're going to fight differently. You're going to pick up that faith and you're going to fight this last round with faith, because a friend of God is somebody that walks by faith and not by sight. I'm a friend of God. Come on, shout, I'm a friend of God. Come on, I'm a friend of God. So first of all, a friend of God does what? He walks by faith. Please shout faith. And also God reveals his secrets to him. God reveals revelation to him. Do you know how awesome this is? Is that when you cry out to God, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, and suddenly that covenant name, and because this is the key, thank you, Holy Spirit, this is why I say this. Many people call the name of Jesus, but they do not have a revelation who this Jesus is, what his name means, what his name entitles. You have to understand the name of Jesus is the name that's higher. Basically, what does it mean? It means that there's no greater name given. Lucifer, Satan, no demon, no angel of God, not Michael, not Gabriel, no angel has been given a greater name than that name. It means that when I say in the name of Michael, nothing happens. If I say in the name of Gabriel, nothing happens, because Gabriel didn't die for me and Gabriel didn't rise from the dead. If I say Michael, nothing happens. But when I say Jesus, do you know why they know that name Jesus? Because that same devil that tried to keep that stone saw the stone being rolled away. That same devil saw Jesus Christ taking back all keys, all power, and all authority. This is why just at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Every demon spirit flees. There's a name which is above all other names. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? This is why when you call on that name of Jesus, it's a covenant name. And a covenant name means that the Holy Spirit shows up. Anybody that calls on that name of Jesus out of revelation, the Holy Spirit comes. Because the Holy Spirit is not here to speak about himself, but to promote Jesus. Come on, am I speaking to you? So basically, I need to walk in faith. Well, when you walk in faith, you have to get rid of everything that you think you know. God is not limited to your time frame. This is why they said, oh God, if you have been here earlier, my brother would not have died, but he's dead 4 days. Jesus wept. Jesus didn't weep because Lazarus died. Jesus wept because of people's unbelief. He's the resurrection and the life. Don't you think if Jesus shows up the fourth day, he still knows he's on time? If Jesus shows up on the 10th day, he's still on time. He holds time in his hands. Come on, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things and all things consist of him. He's never late. The only thing that you need to do is you need to get filled with the Word of God. Filled with the Word of God. Filled. Our son has gone to Mozambique with my sister, and last night I spoke to him and he said something to me. He said there's just an attack on him. And as he said, there's an attack on him, I said to him, I said, boy, this is the way you fight Satan. You don't sit quiet. You don't sit down. I said, you get onto your feet. You tell that devil, devil, you better hear me in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I said, this is how you fight your battles. You get filled with the Word of God. And when you're filled with the Word of God, this is how you fight your battles. You declare, when Satan said to Jesus, if you bow before me, I'll give you the kingdom. Jesus didn't keep quiet. No, Jesus stood up and he resisted him. And he commanded him to go. You better get filled with the Word of God to get filled with faith. And when fear comes, you send faith to knock, or you send faith to open that door. If fear knocks, faith opens. To get into that dimension of faith, I have to believe that it's already done. Do you know what? It's like a childlike faith. I've said this before, yeah, I want to say this again. Jesus is so awesome. He loves when we get into his presence. You know what the Lord said to me one night? He says, whether though you're a son, I want you to enter as a child. How do I enter the presence of God? As a child. Not as I arrived, I'm here. No, as a child. A child with childlike faith. Tell your kid right now you're going to buy him a bicycle. Tomorrow morning he's on your bed, 5 o'clock, jumping up and down. Where's my bike? Where's my bike? Because that's faith. This is why Jesus says, if you don't enter the kingdom of God like a child, you'll never enter in. You're going to have faith like a child. Faith like a child. I don't believe in my life, if you're a good parent, that your children will ever doubt you. They will never doubt you. They will, come on. I want to show you something. If you get any child there from the back, they come into the church, they're not going to stand next to a stranger. They're going to look for their parents. Oh, there's my mom, there's my dad. That's what father wants. He doesn't want you to sneak in from the back and say, oh, Warnock Star, no, come here, my child. I've catered a place for you because this is your safe place. He's our, we are, you know, when we're a friend of God, it means he's our friend too. We are friends. Friends communicate. Friends make time together. One thing last night that I was praying here, and it hit me to the core. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's seated next to the Father. He's in heaven. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's here. And God spoke to me very clearly. He says, when my people sin, my Holy Spirit is broken. I said, Holy Spirit, You are the one who keeps us pure and holy. You're the one who represents Christ on the earth. I said, forgive us. We want to become a friend of you. We want to know you again. We want to come to that place where we can cry on you and we'll know you are there. It's time that we become friends again. Friends of God with a childlike faith into the kingdom of God. If you have been trusting God for something, you better know that it's done if you believe it. You know, in a 10 o'clock service, I'll throw this in free of charge, where the Bible speaks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He says that the double-minded man will receive nothing from God. He says you can ask God, you're wasting your time, will receive nothing from God. But this is a friend of God, he's never unstable and he's never double-minded. His mind is fixed on what God has promised. Come, I'm speaking to you, I'm going to finish. I'm speaking to people who had a tough year, 2018. A tough year. I said to them last night, it felt like 2018 and 2019 into one. It was a short year, but a hard year. It was a hard year. But I've seen this coming out of this year, where my faith is. My faith is another level. My faith is not where it was when I started this year. Come on, my faith has grown in leaps and in bounds. And I know there's people here at Faith City that your faith is at another level. There's people here whose spiritual lives has jumped to another dimension. There's people here who the presence of God has become so radical to them that the only thing that they want is the presence, the presence, the presence, the presence. Because this is what a friend knows. A friend knows that I can come and spend time with him. And last night, this is what God said to me. He said, you don't know how much I love fellowshipping with you. You've got no idea how much I desire just to sit with you. Who am I that he wants to sit with me? Let me tell you, who am I? I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. So this year I've said this at the beginning of the year, and I've done what I've said. I've said at the end of this year, the presence of Jesus will be more real than you than ever before. Haven't I said that? And we have placed a great demand on the presence of God. Well, 2019, you ain't seen nothing yet. 2019 is going to be the greatest year ever for this church and for the body of Christ. If you believe it, give him a shout of praise. Whatever plan B is, cancel right now. I want to say this to the crowd on this side. Whatever your plan B is, cancel that plan right now. And it's time to cry out to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, the one who feeds you and provides for you. And walk by faith and not by sight. What does it mean that the Bible says the righteous walks by faith and not by sight? Yeah, how many people get healed and then months after that, the symptoms comes back? Do you know why? Because they believe the symptoms. They believe sight. This is why you have to get filled with the word. When the symptoms come back, you speak to the symptom. You tell that symptom, you are an illegal immigrant. In actual fact, I want to tell you, you're not sick, you're just temporarily out of order. Amen? But we'll speak to the mechanisms. We'll speak to dry bones to come to life. Now, this is your motto for the next year. The drier the bones, the greater the miracles. The drier the bones, the harder the battle, the greater the victory. The tougher the times, the greater the breakthrough. They will never call it a breakthrough if it wasn't a fight to get there. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, I'm a friend of God. Come on, lift your hands and say, I am a friend of God. Come on, one more time, I'm a friend of God. One more time, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. What a privilege. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Yes, Spirit of God, get your feet quickly. Come on, get your feet. He's here. George, take us there. Come on, lift your hands. He's here. My God, I feel the glory of God right now. Lift your hands. He's here. You are welcome in this place, oh God. You are welcome. We can never just speak about you and you'll not show up. You always show up. You always show up. Come on, start to pray with me. Come on. 2 minutes right now. Lift it up, George. Come on, as you pray, you're going to feel the fire of God start to fall in this place. I've not planned on this, but he's here. Come on, if you're hungry and thirsty, you better pray. Let's lift it up. The fire of God. Visit your people as you promised, oh God. Visit your people. Come wherever you're at right now, say, Lord, forgive me if I made a plan B. Forgive me, Lord, if I had plans without you. You are my faith, oh God. You are the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus. I'm a friend of God. Reveal your secrets to me. Reveal the secret things of the Father's heart. As every eye is closed, please hear me. Don't let your circumstances keep you out of the presence of God. We walk by faith, not by feeling, not by sight. So forget your feeling, forget your sight, and put your focus and your faith in Jesus Christ right now, and you will feel a quickening in your body, a quickening in your spirit. Can we try to do that again? Come on, lift it up, George. Let's worship Him. Remove the friends you don't want in our lives. Remove the wrong people. Remove it, Lord. We want to have your heartbeat. We want to have your heartbeat, Lord. Come on, guys, pray. Forget everything. Forget everything. If we resist the Holy Spirit now, we lose it all. Take me to that place. It's where we belong, Lord. Faith, come on. When you pray in faith, you pray in authority and you pray in boldness. I want to hear boldness in this place. I want to hear authority in this place. This is how we pray by faith. Pray by faith. Every addiction broken in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold broken. Every eye thing come down in Jesus' name. Change every mindset, Lord. Every mindset. Shift every mindset. In the name of Jesus. We declare this. We speak into the spirit realm right now. 2018, we're not over yet. We will finish strong. We'll finish by faith. We will not be moved by what we see. We will not be moved by tiredness. We will be moved by what we believe. We believe the word of God. 2018, hear the word of God. You shall live in Jesus' name. We command every dry bone come alive in this year. Every dead situation turn around in the name of Jesus. Every storm be still in Jesus' name. If you can just surrender, your life will never be the same again.